This is Twit.
Now, Renee, you tweeted this top story a little bit because you remember when this happened. Reuters this morning reported that Apple had planned to encrypt iCloud backups in a way that even the FBI couldn't get them, couldn't see them. Apple couldn't see them. But they dropped those plans after, according to Reuters, after the FBI said the move would harm investigations. Reuters said they have six sources on this. This was about 2 years ago. So just as background, you should know iCloud is encrypted so that nobody but you and Apple can see what's on your iCloud backup. And Apple very famously has offered to provide those that backup. In fact, they did in the Pensacola Naval Air Station shooting. They provided that information from the iCloud backup on the shooter's phones to the FBI almost immediately. It's a double-edged sword, though, because anytime there is a key, and this underscores also the problem we have with AG Barr and others asking Apple to back off on encryption on the phone. Anytime that key is available, there's always a risk. And all you have to do is ask Scarlett Johansson how she feels about the fact that iCloud is not trust no one encrypted.
Well, so those are there's several different things that work there. The Scarlett Johansson was part of, and they actually all fit together, which is weird. But what happened to Scarlett Johansson and other celebrities is that iCloud was encrypted, but they had means for you to get into your account. One of them was your password.
Apple had,
and a lot of
key.
People reused.
But Apple
Before Apple had the key, if people used the repeated password and that password was compromised, or if they were public figures and their security questions were publicly available, people could break into their account or social engineer their way into the account. That led Apple to deliver two-step encryption, and two-step encryption was different because you had to print out a recovery key. But what then happened is people turned it on, and they promptly lost their recovery key, and they were shut out of their iCloud backup, which is their kids' photos, their wedding photos, all those things. And it became a huge issue for Apple because for most people, it's not a hacker or, you know, someone stealing their data or even a subpoena. That's the biggest worry. It's them losing access to their data. So Apple deprecated the old two-step authentication and created a new two-factor authentication. And with the new two-factor authentication, Apple held a key so that if you could prove ownership, they could unlock it for you and restore your access to iCloud, because that was the biggest support issue they were facing, not the legal requests and not the hacking requests. And that was 4 or 5 years ago, and we documented it a lot, had a lot of discussions at the time. Since then, that has not changed. Absolutely nothing has changed since iCloud went, which is where the story is a little wrong, because it's not that Apple had plans to go to encryption. They were fail secure, and they switched to fail safe. And Tim Cook mentioned in passing when pressed in a German interview, will you do fail secure? And he said, it's something we're always looking at. And my understanding is they have these debates inside Apple constantly. What about people locking out? What about the government asking for stuff? What about all this? But it creates a level of complexity. It's the same one when they say, why can't you have Touch ID or Face ID and your passcode? It's, well, then if you burn your finger or something else happens, you need a recovery password, and they're right back to people losing their recovery password. So I believe it's something that's an apt discussion, but they haven't implemented that as an option yet.
Hold on a sec.
Yes.
Regardless of the two-factor, two-step, Apple has the key to iCloud. Apple, if asked by law enforcement, can say, here is unencrypted iCloud data. We know that. They just did.
They do with the current system, yes. And also,
were they considering a system where they would not have the key? That's what I got this Reuters story from.
They had a system where they didn't have a key. You had a recovery key.
So
they
you're
switched
saying the
to
fail,
a system where they have the key.
You're saying that the fail secure system
fail secure versus
involved
fail safe,
them not having a key.
Yeah, you had to have that physical recovery key. Now,
so
there's
there
always
was a, how long was that? There was a theoretical period of time.
2015, I believe.
So at that time, if law enforcement goes to Apple, there is no way they can unencrypt.
Yeah, I mean, some people, if you're super technical, you could say that Apple could maybe do a person in the middle attack on their own servers, which is what we've said about iCloud messages. Because unless people manage their own certificates and do end user side encryption like PGP or like some, because almost every storage service, online backup service, the vendor also has a key.
Yes,
but
Dropbox does it, OneDrive does it, Google Drive does
Amazon.
Amazon does it. And there's a good reason for that besides the what do you call it? So fail secure
fail safe.
And fail safe. Besides fail safe, the other reason is there's lots of things they can do. If you want to view your data on a web page,
yes.
If you want to dedupe, if Amazon wants to dedupe data, all of that, the data has to be, they have to be able to unencrypt the data without your say so, without your, you know. Yeah. So almost all cloud services work that way. In fact, Steve Gibson looked at all of them. The only one he could find that was, in his mind, trust no one. Was sync.com, where it's encrypted to the point where they can't decrypt it. Only you can. And it's like LastPass. It's only on device. What you want is only on device decryption, right? So there's no man in the middle possible. It's not being decrypted, then streamed to you.
Yes.
It is decrypted on your device. LastPass does that, but no cloud service, including iCloud.
Yes.
Does that and sync.
And Apple's thing is that if you really want that, like they believe that this is the best solution for 90%+ of people, 90%+ of the time. But if for some reason you don't want that, you can turn off iCloud backup and do an iTunes or now a Finder backup, and there's an encrypted button there, and then nobody can get to it.
Or pre-encrypt. This wouldn't work with the iCloud phone backup because there's no way to do it. But on your desktop, you can have an iCloud folder or a OneDrive folder or a Dropbox folder.
Yes.
And just make sure nothing's in that folder unless you encrypt it with VeraCrypt or PGP before it gets put in that folder. Then you're backing up a
blob. Some services let you do that.
There's definitely like two camps. There's two worlds to live in. There's one world where we can be totally encrypted, but we can also lose everything. And if you think that your children's photos getting lost forever are worth the security that you have, then you do want to be fail secure, and you want to do something like only backup on iTunes and only to a hard drive on your computer at home that's encrypted, you know, using encrypted backups. But if things like the music that you listen to and your kids' photos, they're more important to you than whatever data you store on your phone, then you do want to be fail safe. And Apple, I think in this case with our phones, believes that an iCloud backup should be fail safe, not fail secure. Because if my mom loses all of her photos of her kids, she's going to be horrified. She's not going to care if someone steals her phone because she knows that there's nothing on there for her that needs to be protected at that level. She can just erase her phone, be done with it. Everything's good. So there's definitely the two camps. And Renee, back in 2007, did talk about how, you know, why not let those of us who feel experienced enough and feel reliable enough to keep our own key, let us keep our own key. And then everybody else, you know, Apple can keep that key.
It's also an education problem, because your mom probably didn't see this story from last or 2 years ago about the 16-year-old who hacked into Apple's servers and stole 90 gigabytes of secure files. He was able to do that because Apple was fail safe, not fail secure. And maybe your mom would be, if she knew about this, because I bet you anything, she thinks your data is safe and encrypted on
Although
Apple's
that wasn't
servers.
iCloud, that was an admin machine that he hacked into.
Yeah.
Well, but would he have had access to that if Apple had...
Apparently not iCloud. iCloud is pretty well protected.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's always this tension between customers who want a service that always not only always works, but always works the way that they expect it to, even if they're expecting it to do something that is prohibited by the laws of gravity, physics, and probability, and having to actually make good decisions on the user's behalf. Just like the networking box that I have, my NAS behind me, is in many ways a pain in the butt to use because it'll get thrown offline or it'll stop, like its security certificate will go bad and needs to be renewed. And I'd much rather have this thing that just always, always works. But the reason why it fails is because it's not taking any shortcuts to make me happy. It's assuming that I know how to run a secure box that's available across the internet. Whereas when you have something like a Ring doorbell or any other sort of IoT sort of device, the consumer wants to plug it in, give it a Wi-Fi password, and it just simply works everywhere. And the only way to make that work is to have default passwords that are shared by every single device that this manufacturer makes, and shared secrets that are shared known passwords and logins to central entities. And that's the sort of stuff that gets immediately exploited by the bad people. So there's a lot of tension between those movements. And Apple, there would be a wonderful series of like oral history books inside Apple about saying, here's how many people are complaining because customer service is sick of getting emails that begin with, but this was like the last Christmas video we had of mom and dad before the accident and we lost them forever. And now you're telling me that I backed them up to iCloud and now I can't get them back. And how do you cut down on that while also trying to assure people that bad people can't get access to your data and they also can't be they won't be victimized by, let's say, a future pivot of law enforcement to insist that that the government has 100% access to all of your cloud data at all times.
And I think that a lot of times we always say Apple focuses on what 90% of people want to do 90% of the time. This is what 99% of the people want 99% of the time.
But I again submit that's because they don't understand means their data is vulnerable.
But I think that I know my parents and many other PIP folks would consider their data vulnerable if they know that there's chances that there's no
they'd
way for them to get back into it. And I think that if you're doing something that you're concerned about, you know, in that sense, you know, then you should educate yourself on how to employ Tradecraft and do what you need to do to keep it secure.
Here's why I think that education is an issue. Nobody cared about privacy 10 years ago.
Right.
All of a sudden, we're learning more about what that means. And so suddenly, I would say a vast majority of Americans who in the past weren't worried about it are suddenly worried about it. Right. So I think maybe it's a question partly of security versus convenience, but also partly of ignorance and not knowing fully. Just because Apple says encrypted, encrypted, encrypted. I think that they're giving people the impression that it is very...
Well, our culture is saying that, too. Like, we've become incredibly InfoSec sensitive to the point where... and the whole reason I started looking into this is that Lori told me, you were going to write an article about encrypted backups. And I went to, friend of the show, Dave Nanian, and said, how do I encrypt SuperDuper? And he said, I will tell you, but please don't ever do it, and please don't ever tell anybody to do it. Because the minute you do that, we can no longer recover anything. And I have had so many people tell me they lost their photos to fire, to flood, they forgot the password, all these things that... And there is this tension between InfoSec people who say encrypt everything and backup people who say, no, please only encrypt stuff that really needs to be encrypted. It shouldn't be a default state for you, that I've tried to find a middle ground. And I think there is. And I think the education that's lacking is that encryption, by definition, isn't always good, and neither is the lack of encryption. But you have to identify the stuff that would mean if this being stolen or subpoenaed is worse than it being lost, please encrypt it. If it being lost or destroyed is worse than it being subpoenaed or stolen, please do not encrypt it. And we have to educate people about both those choices.
You also have to acknowledge that Apple is sensitive to law enforcement.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the reasons Apple would like to make this so that they can't decrypt it is not U.S. law enforcement. They're not worried about the FBI. They're worried about Chinese, Russian, Australian, and
data repatriation.
Yeah. So I think Apple would love to be able to say, sorry, we can't hand that over. But they don't, and they can't. And they also are sensitive to the criticism from the FBI. That's a lot of negative headlines FBI is putting out.
Well, it's also
about them not helping in the investigation against terrorism.
Refusing to help is
that's bad PR.
That's bogus language.
Well, and I think that also
and by the way, when the president tweets it too, that hurts.
Noted
InfoSec expert.
Noted idiot. And
yeah, I understand. InfoSec expert. But remember,
you forget, Rennie. He has Giuliani on his side. He's a noted. He owns a cybersecurity company.
We're talking about public perception, and that's also important.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think that also that when you talk about legislation, which comes from public perception, drawing that line too far out means that it puts them at risk of going, people saying, well, that's not reasonable. People have to be getting into it.
I don't envy them. They're in a tough position.
Right. So they've drawn the line with everyone around the world, including China, including everyone else, that the phone is the line. Right. That's the line
they do encrypt that, right? You can't take my phone and get into it.
Unless you,
they believe the chance of it being lost is higher than a server-side backup.
And by the way, I should mention the 9to5 Mac report that the police were able to unlock the Pensacola shooter's phone using Graykey. They're celebrating Graykey, both of which have exploits that apparently work with an iPhone 11.
But these weren't even iPhone 11s. They were 5 and 7s,
I believe.
So this
But they have unlocked iPhone 11s.
Exactly. Yeah. Separate stories.
So,
well, they have Checkmate, right? That goes back to almost all previous iPhones.
Except not the 11. Checkmate doesn't.
Yeah.
So they can use Checkmate against the Pensacola shooter's phone. Mm-hmm. And GrayKey, and this is frustrating, but GrayKey and Cellebrite, as part of their business, discover and keep secret exploits that allow FBI and other
Nation states.
How does it Apple
other nation states like the Saudis to decrypt phones?
I have to admit, I just wonder why Apple doesn't spend like $5 billion and just buy those companies and call it a day. So just buy, the whole company. Just buy both GrayKey and Cellebrite and go.
That's an endless process. Well,
why not? Here's your benefit.
They're sensitive to bidding wars, too, they don't want to make exploits even more valuable.
But by the way, Apple's paying more and more and more for exploits than ever before,
right?
Probably because of this, right?
Yes.
I think the last bug bounty was up to $1.5 million. So
even if Apple had to buy one company a year for $2 billion, it wouldn't matter.
it would be
the cost of being secure.
They could afford it. Yeah.
But then they would divest it, make a new company. Then we're talking about a monopoly, though.
Yeah, monopoly of cracking phones.
Yeah.
Well, if Apple owned the
company that cracked phones, it would probably be a problem for the FBI and the government. There'd be a lot of problems with that.
Yeah. Anybody who knew that you could form, if you know of a good exploit, or if you are a former employee of a company that's now owned by Apple that knew of an exploit, if you can just simply file a corporation with Delaware and then 3 months later get a check for $500 million, this would be quite an
It would still be less expensive for Apple. There's not that many of them.
You're going to run out of checks at some point.
Why it's a big deal that they want back doors or keys in escrow, because you can't keep a lid on this stuff. Exploits or escrow, you can't keep a lid on this stuff. And so what governments, I mean, look, this is going to be a given, and it'll happen in the United States. Governments will say, I don't care how you do it, you have to provide me with unencrypted clear text whenever I ask for it, and you figure out how to do it.
Australia is trying that, right?
Yeah. Russia's already done it. I don't know what the state in China is, but I would guess that every Chinese company can do it.
But I believe that Apple is talking about walking out of Russia.
I'll believe it when I see it.
But they're talking about
not ever going to walk out of China.
Russia's not as valuable a market.
Yeah, Russia is a big deal.
Also, they have you have bigger problems in Russia in terms of human rights abuses than you have in China, conceivably, because you have one person that needs to be gotten rid of. Whereas with China, it's a whole
minority of Muslims.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you're in the northwest of China, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. You don't want to be a Uyghur and have an iPhone, but I don't know where you go. And this is the problem: is that you could say, well, as you just did, people need to get better at InfoSec.
I don't think that
you can't expect Apple to do it for you. I think you're exactly right.
You know, that's all.
They're not going to because of governmental pressure, among other things.
Right. I think they found a line that they're willing to defend, and it's a defendable position, and they're going to
Because when the FBI says you didn't unlock the phone, they can always say, but we gave you the iCloud backups.
Right.
We cooperated. We gave you all the data we could.
And right now, this isn't unlocking the phone from Apple's perspective. It is literally building something new. Like, I think that's really an important distinction.
That's what they wanted
in
San Bernardino. They wanted a new OS that they could push on the phones that would allow them to try many, 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 many keys.
All these access requests from the government now is not, we want you to take something you already have and unlock it. They're saying, we would like you to create something new that burrows into into your own system. So it's like you have a very secure castle wall. We would like you to knock a hole here, and then put a hole here that goes right to the center, and then we want you to give us the key, and we're going to assume that nobody can open that door.